in honor of God's Word, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And that verse is 58 that they just sang. And here's what verse 58 says. I'm going to start right there and then go backwards. "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Praise God. Now go back to verse number 50, and we're going to preach this morning on this subject, victory in Jesus. Victory in Jesus. "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal," speaking of our body now, "shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is in the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Wow, we have been looking for the last several months, at least 2 months, maybe longer, on this great chapter in the Bible called Resurrection Chapter. Now, when you get to the verses that I just read, most of the time, these are verses that are read at a funeral, at a graveside, and for those who know the Lord. Because I must emphasize this morning that if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, these verses do not apply to you. But if you're saved, you have victory in Jesus. God help us today as we preach. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. There is a preacher of an old school, and he speaks very boldly every time he preaches. He is not a popular preacher, though the world is his audience. And this preacher travels every part of the globe, and he speaks every language. He visits the poor. He calls upon the rich. He preaches to the people of every religion and those of no religion. The subject of his sermon is always the same. He is an eloquent preacher, often stirring feelings which no other preacher could ever stir. He brings tears to the eyes that never weep. His arguments, none are able to refute. Nor is there any heart that has remained unmoved by the force of his appeals. He shatters life with his message. Most people hate him, and everyone fears him. His name is Death. Every tombstone is his pulpit. Every newspaper prints his text. And someday, every one of us will be his sermon. I want you to think about that. Nobody escapes death outside of what we just read here called the mystery in verse number 51 and 52, which is called the rapture. And it's called the rapture of the saints of God. The word rapture per se is not in the Bible, but it has the idea of the catching away. Those who are alive and remain at the coming of the Lord, the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to be with the Lord. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And the book of Thessalonians says, comfort one another with these words. So I want you to understand something this morning. as we read this great conclusion of the chapter called the resurrection chapter, every child of God understands this chapter. Every child of God has heard this chapter. Every child of God has gone to a funeral service of a saint who holds on to the great hope that we have, which is the resurrection in Jesus Christ. In fact, as I mentioned earlier in my opening remarks, this is one of the most familiar passages of Scripture about the resurrection and the rapture, which is read at many funerals or many gravesides, and me included, have stood at the graveside of many a saint of God, of many a member of Berean Baptist Church, and I have read 1 Corinthians chapter 15 in verses 50 through verse number 58. But we must understand that while these verses are comforting and inspiring, they are for God's people. They are not for the unsaved. The unsaved do not have this hope. The unsaved, those without Christ, this world is just as good as it's ever going to get. Not for me, my friend. This world is not my home. And the longer that I live and the more burdens that come up on me or you, the more I understand this world ain't our home. And that's a good English word too. And if you're not saved, then these verses again do not apply. But if you are, I want to look at some things. First of all, I want you to understand there is going to be the great promise that God has given us that there will be this transformation of our body. This transformation from this old body, this decrepit body, corruptible body, if you would. And Paul, in anticipation of maybe the question that's being asked, how do the dead raise up? What is the resurrection of the dead all about? Maybe he anticipated that there was the time that would come, and we don't know when that is, but we know that it is closer now than it's ever been, and that is when God comes back, when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back, as it was told in the book of Acts, this same Jesus shall so come in like manner. And we know from the writings of the Apostle Paul in Thessalonica to the Thessalonians, and also Paul's writing here in chapter 15, that there will be a day that is coming that everybody's not going to have to die. That there's going to be a group of people on the earth that are saved by the grace of God that are going to be raptured out of here, that are going to be taken out of here. And when it says the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then those which remain and are saved are also going to be caught up to meet the Lord in there. That is a great promise, and that is a great transformation. The new body will not be flesh and blood. Why? Because verse 50 makes it very clear that this flesh and this blood cannot enter into the kingdom of God. This corruption cannot inherit incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. This body is not suited for heaven. We could not go to heaven in this body. So God says, hey, no problem, I'll give you a new one. I'll give you one like Jesus Christ had when He rose and everybody was able to see who He was and how great the same He was, but how great or different that He was. You see, the new body will not be the flesh and blood because it cannot enter into heaven. Now, so Paul, again, I believe when Paul anticipates the question of what about those who are alive on the earth? What about those when Christ comes back to catch away His saints? Well, Paul said, well, let me show you a mystery. A mystery is something that has been unknown, but now has been revealed. So Paul has said, this is an unknown fact now revealed by the Spirit of God through the Word of God that tells us that when Jesus comes back, those that are dead in Christ shall rise up, receive their glorified body, and then those that are alive shall be caught up together and they shall be changed. So Paul reveals a great Bible truth that those who are alive at His coming will not have to die in order for their bodies to be changed. Wouldn't it be awesome if we were able to live in that time? Well, there's nothing, prophetically speaking, that says we're not living in that time. Nothing whatsoever. And I just am reminded of the 70 messages that I preached several years ago out of the Revelation, and we begin to see things today that we can understand. Wow, 100 years ago, they would never be able to see that. Well, now 3-4 years later, now we see even more things worldwide that could bring in the Antichrist and the tribulation and all of that that goes with it. But we don't know when the coming of the Lord is. It could be tomorrow. It could be this afternoon. It could be 100 years from now. We don't know. So don't say you do know, because it's not been revealed. But here's what we do know. All believers are resurrected or caught up. And we do know this. We all shall be changed. I like that. Whether believers die or raptured, their bodies will be changed. Listen to this. From the perishable to the imperishable. From the natural to the spiritual. And I don't want to go back and re-preach all of the that I've already preached, but how Jesus Christ in His glorified body was able to go from one point to the next. We can be in California and go to Jerusalem if summoned by the Lord in a matter of seconds. It's really Star Trek in real life. Beam me up, Jesus. That'll really be the truth. And since the perishable cannot inherit the imperishable, I think about two men in the Bible that are spoken about that didn't die. There's only two that we know of. And that was Enoch, who the Bible says he walked with God and he was not, for God took him. I mean, one day, O Enoch, God says, you know what? I need a picture of the rapture in the Old Testament. I think O Enoch, who walks with me and talks with me, and is obedient. He goes, Enoch, come up here. Let me give those New Testament Christians that don't even know it yet a picture of the rapture. Enoch's up. The other one was Elijah, who went up in a whirlwind in that chariot of fire in the book of Kings. And when you think about Enoch and Elijah, listen to this. I believe God gives us those illustrations of those men who did not die, so that we can understand that in the same way that we shall be changed, they were in the very same way raptured to be with God, and they were changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And they have a changed body. All of the saved will be equally equipped for heaven. You're not going to go to heaven like you are. Who wants to go to heaven with all this corruption that we deal with? I don't want to go with a bad back. I don't want to go with to heaven with COVID. I want to be COVID free. Glory. Hallelujah. Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 20 says, for our conversation, now that is a good old English word for our life, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to this. Who shall change our vile body, and that it may be fashioned and likened to His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things into Himself. Now, I like the process of this rapture that's going to take place. The Bible says, in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Now, listen to this. The twinkling of an eye is faster than a blink. So, just like blink, blink, three, four raptures right there, just like that. Actually, double four raptures and you got eight raptures. Do you know when the rapture takes place? Don't worry, the Antichrist will be able to explain it all away. He does that every day. People who listen to CNN, they've already been listening to the Antichrist on a daily basis. They actually believe some of the stuff that spews out of these people's mouths that common sense would tell you otherwise. So if the Antichrist can explain that, he can certainly explain how that one day we were all sitting in church, and wouldn't it be awesome if we were preaching and just gave the invitation and this was your last opportunity to be saved by the grace of God, and it could happen. And at the invitation end, the pastor's getting ready to call on somebody to close us in prayer, and then boom, in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, somebody here, that's the best I can do. Sounds like a chicken that's dying. That's my best trumpet, amen. Because there will be a Like this week, everybody, hey, listen, so I'm driving down the road this week to Oklahoma City, and all of a sudden my phone blows up about news things. Sonic boom in Missouri. Sonic boom in Springfield, Missouri. Felt all over my neighborhood, and my ring is the ring that I have to camera. You come to my house, I'll photograph you on the camera. And then it was the next neighborhood watch. And it was like, did y'all hear that? And I got to thinking, because I was preparing for this message, just like that sonic boom, that'll be just like it is. There'll be a boom, and there'll be a rapture, and then everybody will go, what happened? And so you go back to the setting where we're sitting here, and maybe it's on a Sunday, and the pastor just gets through preaching, he calls on somebody to pray, and then there's sonic boom, or a trumpet, the Bible says. And there might be five people left in this room. Because there might be five people that are not saved. There might be 10 people. I don't know who's saved in here or not. But can you imagine turning around and looking? We had a lady in our church in Knobnoster. She was one of the sweetest ladies in the world. She died of cancer. My wife had helped me. Penny Watson was her name. And she was, and I've probably told this story before, but she had been going to church and hearing the preaching of the Word of God. And she was under conviction about salvation, and she was not saved. And she knew she needed to be saved. And her and her husband were stationed in Canada. They had just gotten there, and she had been in this church and been hearing the preaching. She was under conviction that it was, and you know, in Canada and up in that area, it can get dark like really early. In the summertime, it can stay light. I remember when I was with Brother Harrison, and we were there in the middle of August or July, and it was light almost 24 hours. It was amazing. 10 o'clock at night, it's still as light out as it is outside. And it was almost like cloudy, like by 12 o'clock. In the wintertime, it gets dark like that. So they say that the sun comes up and it might be light in some places from like 9 o'clock in the morning till like 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And so then it gets dark. Well, she was driving home from work and nobody had told her about the northern lights. How many's ever seen the northern lights? The green streaks through the skies that are amazing. If you've ever get to go to Canada and you can ever see them, it is totally amazing to watch the northern lights. So those green streaks were coming over like that, and all of a sudden she looks up and she sees all these green streaks, and she starts crying and she starts screaming and she goes, the rapture just took place and I'm not saved and I didn't go. And as she was driving down the road, she thought, my kids are little. I got to go home and see if they're still asleep in the bed. If they're not, apparently it was at night, I said, but anyhow, apparently she rushes home and she runs into her kids' bedrooms and they're still there. And she's like, the rapture didn't take place. Next day she finds out it wasn't the rapture, just the northern lights. And it wasn't long after that she got saved. If it takes a message to scare you, to save you, so be it. Because the truth is the truth. Without Christ, there is no hope. And I want you to understand, the process will be fast in the twinkling of an eye, which is faster than a blink, and a trumpet will sound, and that will be the end of the church age, and it will bring in the time of the tribulation. I read this story where a chaplain in the Civil War was telling a story about how all of the men were on a maneuver, and it got so late on the march that they were going to the next town, they didn't even have time to set up their tents. The commanding officer just said, let's just lay out on the ground for the night and we'll head out in the morning. Well, that night it snowed 2 inches. So all of the men were very, of course, if you've ever read anything about the Civil War and the marches those men made, I mean, I'm telling you, you could sleep in snow, you could sleep anywhere. And they laid down and they went to sleep. And the chaplain said he got up the next morning, he looked across there, and there were all those mounds of bodies. In other words, the snow had covered up the bodies, and the men were asleep under their blankets, and they blew reveille. They blew the trumpet, and all of those men jumped up out of that snow. He said, glory, it looks like the rapture. Well, he understood that. You see, that is a great transformation that's going to take place. It's like, I can't describe that. I just know it's going to happen. But then God says, well, let me give you a great proclamation. Let me show you about the triumph that shall take place. Look at verse number 54. He says, so when this corruptible, he's talking about the final victory over death. He is talking about our corrupt bodies. That's what the corruptible is. So here you have the rapture in the verses. You have the changing of the guard, so to speak. The old body's out, the new body's in. He says, let me tell you about this. Let me give you this great proclamation of triumph. So when this corruptible shall I put on incorruption, and this mortal shall I put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. And then will be brought the saying, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Yes, the sting of death is sin, and the strength of the sin is the law. But, thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Victory in Jesus. Victory in Jesus. Death is the enemy of man. We all know that. Even for Christians, it violates God's dominion of God's creation. It violates everything about life. It breaks up love relationships. It disrupts families. It causes great grief and loss of those who are dear to us. Just this morning, I'm sitting in my chair reading my Bible, and I come across the passage of Scripture where the Bible said Herod killed James. And I'm thinking, oh my, here was James and John, the sons of thunder, the men who walked with Jesus Christ during that 3.5 years. And I'm thinking about how that James and John, the sons of Zebedee, loved one another. And I'm thinking how that James and John and Peter were in the very inner circle of Jesus Christ. And then right out of the nowhere, the Bible says, Herod killed James with the sword. And I just wanted to step back and go, wow, here was a man that was serving God. Here was a man that was one in the inner circle of Jesus Christ. And then just out of nowhere, death takes place. And Herod saw that it pleased the multitude. So he took Peter and he placed him in prison and would killed him also if the angel of God had not have come and opened up the prison bars. And Peter walked out of there. And Peter said he perceived that the Lord was in this. Well, I reckon so. But it got me to thinking, death, just like that. Totally unexpected. But then I'm reminded that Peter and John kept going, that they kept serving the Lord, and that it would be Peter who would do great exploits for God. It would be John who would be on the Isle of Patmos. It would be John who would write the Revelation. It would be John who won men like Polycarp to the Lord and discipled them. And other men, I'm just saying, death comes out of nowhere, and James is dead. We no longer need to fear death, but it still invades us. It still torments us. Why is it? Because we're mortal humans. However, what we need to be reminded from this passage of Scripture about the triumph over death is Christ has actually overcome death. So death doesn't have any power over us, just like it didn't have any power over James. It just takes us to the other side, which we have not seen yet. And I'm pretty sure when we get over there on the other side, we'll be going, what was the big deal? This side's a whole lot better than that side. But the resurrection broke the power of death for those who believe in Him. Death is no longer the master because of Jesus' resurrection. Romans chapter 6 verse 9 says, knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over Him. And because it has no more dominion over Him, it won't have any dominion over us except for the mortal side that we live in right now. And then we go on to see from this text that Christ bore the whole of death's sting in order that we wouldn't have to bear it. The sting of death is sin, meaning the harm in death is caused by sin. But because sin has been dealt with, it interrupts the earthly, but it ushers in the heavenly. So it's a great triumph. And then there's a great prediction that we need to be thankful. Look at verse 57. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. First song I ever memorized as a child of God is Victory in Jesus. I heard an old story. Oh, mercy. It's an awesome song. It is an awesome song. But you know what? Jesus has fulfilled the law, made sacrifice for us, and all we get to do is enjoy in the blessings. Now, we have to go through trials and tribulations and heartaches and burdens in this world, but my friend, our victory is not in self. Our victory is in Jesus Christ. Go back to Romans chapter 5, and I want you to see a few verses just through back. All you got to do is go one book back to the left, and I want to read a couple of verses. Look at Romans chapter 5 and verse number 19. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 19. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Glory, hallelujah. Look at Romans 6 and verse number 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. Glory, hallelujah again. Look at chapter 7, verse 6. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. Again, praise God. You see, Paul gives thanks to the one who will give us the great transformation of our bodies, and the one who's made the great triumph over sin and over death. That which we could never do for ourselves, God has done for us through Jesus Christ our Lord. We couldn't do what Jesus did, but we can enjoy the blessings through Him. We cannot live a sinless life. We cannot fulfill the law. We cannot remove sin once we've committed it or remove the consequences of it, which is death. So Jesus did it for us. That's thanksgiving, folks. If you can't be thankful for that, you can't be thankful for anything. But on our behalf, Jesus Christ, listen to this, lived a sinless life, fulfilled the law, removed our sin by Himself paying the penalty for it, satisfying God, which is with a perfect sacrifice, and conquered death by being raised from the dead. I like what Romans says. The Spirit of God that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is the same Spirit of God that lives within us. Amen. All of that great victory He accomplished for us and gives us glory. For the child of God, death has no more power. How can we do anything less than to praise His holy name? He has promised us an imperishable, glorious, powerful, and spiritual body for one that is a perishable body, a dishonorable body, a weak body, a natural body. Whoop! We're going to do away with that. It's going to be gone. Glory, hallelujah. My back won't hurt no more. My ailments won't hurt. COVID won't bring all of the things that it's brought. Listen, He promised us the heavenly in exchange for the earthly, the immortal in exchange for the mortal. And we know these promises are assured because He has already given us the victory over death. All we got to do is just read about it. That's what Paul's trying to get this church to understand. Hey, foolish people. Don't you understand? Well, how are the dead raised up? Well, it's not going to be like you think. It's going to be totally different. This incorruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. So shall be brought to pass the saying, death is swallowed up in victory. But then, praise God, there's the great prospect of our exhortation. And that's why God says in verse 58, what was sung in the song by the trio this morning, listen to me. Therefore, my beloved brethren, because of all of this, because of the triumph, because of the rapture, because of the transformation, because of the thanksgiving that we can have. Hey, don't stop working. Don't stop doing. My beloved brethren, be you steadfast, unmovable, always, always, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now, if we're all honest with ourselves, sometimes it just seems that our labor might be in vain. But it's not. How do we prove our assurance and our thankfulness? By being steadfast and unmovable, by abounding in the work of the Lord. You know, the word steadfast means firmly situated. But do you know what immovable means? Listen to this. I love this. I love word definitions. Steadfast means firmly situated, but immovable means steadfast with more intensity. Concrete. Don't move. Folks, I don't understand people who change things. In fact, Proverbs says, don't give over to those who change. The Word of God doesn't change. Amen. Salvation hadn't changed. Amen. Church doctrine hadn't changed. Amen. The Bible we preach from certainly hadn't changed. Amen. The Word of God hadn't changed. The service for God through a local New Testament Baptist church has not changed. So don't move away from God's will and don't move away from God's Word, because everything you do according to the Word of God in obedience is not in vain. It just may be harder to see sometimes. But you don't have to see it. You just do what God tells you to do. You know what you have to do? You have to kill your emotion. You have to be steadfast. Don't move. Don't easily be discouraged. Multiply your good works, knowing God will make them profitable in His time. Polycarp, who was a disciple of John, who was martyred, said this, and I quote, "Do not let those who appear to be trustworthy, yet who teach strange doctrines, baffle you. Stand firm, like an anvil being struck with a hammer. It is the mark of a great athlete to be bruised yet still conquer. But especially we must, for God's sake, patiently put up with things that He may also put up with us." That's a good quote by old Polycarp, who was one of the, outside of the Bible, one of the great fathers of the faith after John the Revelator. But when our hope is in the resurrection, it is very clear and it is very certain that we will be motivated for selfless service and holy living. Until the Lord returns, we have work to do. Doesn't matter how old you are. I'm kind of old and I think I've done all of I'm going to do. Better be careful, you might get checked out. Because God's not done with us as long as we have breath. Souls need to be saved. Men need to surrender to God's call. Churches need to be started. But listen to this. We have much to look forward to. If you have salvation through Jesus Christ, if you're not saved, then your prospects are very, very bleak. In fact, the world is all you have. And I'm sure glad that's not the case. Victory is found in Jesus and Jesus alone. There's a great promise of a transformation. There is a great proclamation of triumph as death has no hold any longer on the child of God. There is a great prediction of thanksgiving found in the victory before us. Our great prospect is to be exhorting always, abounding in the work of the Lord. For the labor that we do for God is not in vain. This world is not our home. It's only our temporary dwelling place. 1 Corinthians 15 tells us all about what's going to happen when we check out of this old world. When we check out of this world, we'll be checking into the resurrection. And it won't be long now. There is victory in Jesus. Let's stand this morning, every head bowed, every eye closed. Heavenly Father, thank You for the Word of God. Thank You, Lord, for the truths that are contained within 1 Corinthians 15. Thank You for the great transformation that will take place. Thank You that You have triumphed over the grave, over hell, and over death. May we be a people of thanksgiving. May we be a people of working. May we always abound in the work of the Lord, for as much as we know that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. May we be steadfast, unmovable, in concrete for the things of God. Oh God, I pray for souls that need Jesus Christ even today. There may be people here without salvation. I pray, oh